The Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 16. I'd like to start reading in verse number 19. And the Bible said, there was a certain rich man. Wonder why God put that "was" in there. Because he's not here no more. He was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime receive thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from you to you cannot, neither canst they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may be seated this morning. Brother Gerald had made a statement not long ago, something that's really stuck in the ministry that God has placed me in. Brother Gerald has a Bible cover that he got inscribed on the front of the cover, and it said, the hymn book, H-I-M book. As God has begun to deal with me in these days, I want to start a series of sermons, and I want to title it this, Sermons from the Hymn Book. And my thought this morning is this, in verse number 23. The Bible said, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. This is what I want to preach from this morning. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. You know, we hear a lot of things out of the hymn book. This is the greatest hymn book known to man. A KJV, 1611. The HIM book. And I will preach on this topic, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. I want to tell you, first of all, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's treasures. You'll find in the teaching of the Scripture in Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There's no doubt that this man had plenty of treasure. We find the Bible labels him as a rich man. But I will remind you what the world calls rich. Does it mean that it means that he's rich toward God? And I wouldn't miss heaven for the world, for the world's treasures. In Matthew chapter number 6, you can hold your place, we'll be back, but in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, and in verse number 19. I want you to notice this in the teaching of the Word of God. There Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's treasures. You'll find within this text the ruin of treasure. Have you ever went and bought a 100% wool blazer or suit? Put it in the closet, and exactly what the Bible says will happen. Moths will break through and steal. Well, one of the best suits I had the other week, I got out, got ready to go to church. Miss Renee said, "I declare, moths have got in our closet. You can't wear that suit. It's ruined." And I want to remind you, the Bible said that for you to lay up for yourselves treasures where moths do not corrupt. There you'll find the ruin of treasures. There was a lot of people who woke up this morning in a place called hell and found out the ruin of their treasures. You'll find out that the Bible is true where it said where moths will corrupt. Not only the ruin of treasures, but notice in this text you'll see the rust of treasure. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt." Did you know everything that you save in will rust? Now, I like old cars. A lot of them, their folks is idle. They're not my idol nor my God. But you know, if I park that thing outside of the building in about 3 weeks, what will happen? Rust will start eating it away. But you know, I love pocket knives, Brother Gerald. I know many of you do. But you know what I've noticed about them pocket knives? When you handle them, and if you don't wipe them off real good before you put them up, the next time you look at them, they'll be rusted. I loved what one of the great commentators had to say about the rust of treasures. He said, "Treasures grows less with using and grows worse with keeping." Treasures grows less with using. The more you use, the less you'll have. But they'll grow worse with keeping. You take and you put it in a vault and don't look at it for a while, you know what? It'll be rusted over. You know, we have metal detectors, and a lot of people, they take that hobby and they say one of the best places that you can go metal detecting is under a clothesline. We was raised out in the country, and Mama had a clothesline, and boy, she would hang them clothes up, and they say the best thing to do in hunting that old treasure is get under the clothesline where that money would fall out of the pockets of the garment that was hung on that old line. And you know, as you go under that line and you start looking for them treasures, you'll find it, and you know what? It won't be real shiny. It'll be rusted. You take something and you lay it down. You ever laid a tool down in the woods and come back after it? After a while, it's not the way you left it. It's done rusted. And boy, this morning there's many people that is working their fingers to the bone for treasures that will rust. The ruin of treasures, the rust of treasures. But then also, look what the Bible said, where thieves break through and steal, the robbing of treasure. This last summer, on a Wednesday night, we came home and I was getting ready for Wednesday night prayer meeting. About that time, Mr. Renee said, "Somebody's been in our house." About that time, Megan and Justin had been saving their money to get married and change rolled over there in a basket. Megan cried out and said, "Mama, they stole our money!" robbers break through and steal. The CEOs of a lot of our companies in the country, a lot of people, they've worked their fingers to the bone for retirement. Thought they had a 401k, but all of a sudden, robbers broke through and what? To steal. I remind you, the money that is your God this morning cannot buy your way through the pearly gates. The Bible said the root of all evil is the love of money. He said the love of money is the root of all evil, and I believe that with all my heart. But we find the ruin of treasures, the rusting of treasures, and the robbing of treasures. Boy, Jesus said something that I hope this really sticks with us this morning. He said in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, I want you to turn over there and I want you to mark this, and I want to remind you of this. I don't know if you know this or not, but this is my job that God has given me to remind people of what the Scripture has to say. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll lay them up, and I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I've never seen anybody yet in a funeral home with a U-Haul behind their coffin. I'll remind you that Jesus said, when your soul's required of you, who shall these things be? A lot of you working your fingers to the bone, and your kids is going to fuss and fight off what you leave. Jesus said, who will them things be? He said, in short, you're not taking them where you're going. Whether you're going to heaven or you're going to hell, there is no in-between. There is no purgatory. There is no going to some place and somebody pray you in. No such thing. This is the dressing room for eternity. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's treasures. The rust of treasures, the ruin of treasures, and the robbery of treasures. A lot of you this morning wonder when you get home, are you going to have what you had when you left or not? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing sure in this life but one thing, and that's me and you meeting God. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's treasures. Notice what Jesus said. He said, when you depart from this life, who shall these things be? A lot of you have heard this. Some good friends of a man that's lost, never accepted Christ. He and I used to fish a lot. Was going to lake one morning, Brother Jerry. I called his name and I said, listen, we still living when the rapture comes, so don't you come get my boat, get all my fishing supplies, won't you have my truck, won't you go in my house, won't you get my guns, get my four-wheel. What are you talking about, preacher? I said, because I want my friend to have them, because I don't need them no more. Boy, give me a paper you wrote. You got that? Brother Gerald told me something a while ago. I just reminded what something said. He wrote a song and said, I don't have much money. My car's not real new. But I sure am blessed, Lord, because I've got you. You're building me a mansion, and one day I'm going to move to my home on the river, all because of you. Now, I want you to listen to what this thing says. It spoke volumes to me. Now, listen. Now I won't have to pack it all, because everything will be brand new. And I know I'll have good neighbors because they're Christians too. But it reminded me that when the rapture comes, we that know Jesus aren't going to need all these things that we're working for. Because everything we're going to get will be brand new. Well, I'm going to run. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's treasures. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's pleasures. Pleasures of the flesh. He had it made, didn't he? The world's concept, he had it made. No doubt a man filled with flesh. A lot of you, you've got your idols out on the country music network. Pleasures of the flesh. There's a payday someday. I'll be the first pastor to tell you sin is fun. But it's for a season. There's a payday coming someday. These folks went to the graveyard yesterday because of sin. Pleasures of the flesh. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's pleasure. Pleasures of the flesh. Pleasures of the field. Boy, it looks like they're having a lot of fun in their life of Riley. But there's a payday someday. You say, well, preacher, you're old fashioned, and I mean, this is 204. You really believe what this old Bible has to say? With all of my heart and with all of my soul. And I wouldn't miss heaven for the whole world. The world's treasures, the world's pleasures. I wouldn't miss heaven for the pleasures of the flesh, pleasures of the field, pleasures of the family. A lot of people this morning not in church because they call it a family day. I know no better place in the world to take your family than to a Bible-believing church. Raising my children, young people, Sunday of going to the house of God was not an option. It was a lifestyle. And we go to church first, then if we want to go do something as a family, we go afterwards. You know, there's nothing no better than going to the house of God with your family. But Tim, I think about y'all a lot, Miss Deanne. How y'all come up the steps with them three little kids. Well, don't it look great? When mom and daddy's come in the house of God with family. That's a seldom sight nowadays. Well, the pleasures of the family. I want to say that. I want to say this because I think it needs to be said. The average family in our country this morning is way outpacing the preparation of their children's living than they are of their children's dying. Wasn't not long ago, and I know it came across wrong. I said it before I thought, but I meant what I said. A man had lost his son. We were sitting at a hunting camp. He had lost a grown boy, 25 years old. Had never darkened the door of a church, and he'd been stated that. I said, well, sir, I'm going to tell you something.
I've tried to spend time preparing my children more for their dying than for their living." He dropped his head in shame. "I didn't mean to be ugly." But God used that of a realization. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world.
I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's treasures. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's pleasures. And lastly, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's measures. Measures of the table.
Had a big table, didn't he?
Boy, you could walk in on this family. They probably didn't do like we did, have a banana sandwich, tomato sandwich. That's living, you know it. You probably walk in and look at the measure of their table, and it was astounding of the things in that house. There's no doubt that it would be little kids that would go home with this man's children, look around at the table and say, "Boy, y'all got it made." I'd rather have a pair of overalls, no broken shoes, and a wore out new, and no Jesus, than to have all the riches of Egypt. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world's measures. Measures of the table. Measures of the title.
A lot of folks got a big title that don't impress God. God don't care if you're in the who's who. The Kiwanis. That don't impress Him. The way you get God's attention is to think something of His darling son. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. The world's treasures, the world's pleasures, the world's measures, the measures of the table. Measure the titles. A lot of folks work their finger on the bone so they can progress and progress and go up higher in the corporate ladder. I wouldn't miss heaven for the measures of the table, measures of the titles, measures of the travels. So what if you've been around the world? Do you know God? This morning I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. I love what one of the writers said. What comes after death is far more important than what comes before. You'd look at this story, and by the way, it's not a parable, for he mentions a man named Lazarus. Brother Dave, you miss Sherry, be getting this song. He said it was a certain rich man, a man of riches specifically, and it was a certain beggar, specifically Lazarus. Boy, by the world's measures, the rich man had it made, didn't he? Pasture always looks greener on the other side of the fence. You ever seen a cow at a fence? They're standing on more green grass than they can eat, and they're trying to get out to the grass they can't get to. You know why? Because it looks better on the other side of the fence. According to this world's measures, if you're not somebody in this society, you're a nobody. But I'll tell you this, if you're not a somebody on God's roll in heaven, you're a nobody. I'm a somebody this morning. God saved me. Washed me white as snow. I have things money cannot buy. Brother David, I know you've met a lot of men, had a lot of money. Brother Mike, I know you've run into a lot of men, had a lot of money.
I sat on the back porch with a man not long ago that looked out across the water that I don't even know if your pickup truck would haul his $100 bills off. And this is what he said. It won't buy happiness. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. Isn't it amazing how quick life is? I told my son-in-law this morning, coming up them steps at church, I just a hurting all over every step I took. I said, son, you've got a lot to look forward to. Brother Joe, it wasn't long. I was riding a bicycle. Thought, boy, I've got to make something of myself. Jesus made something out of me. I ain't got a lot. That'd be B&T. They don't even know my name when I pull up at the window. They got to ask for ID. Oh, but listen. Oh, listen. Say somebody that knows my name, that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, that owns it all across the river, knows me by name. I don't know why God saved me and put me and you together. I swear I'm glad He did. I met Miss Renee 25 years ago. I was full of myself on a road to hell. God reached out and offered me life. He says He's offering you this morning, and He said, if you want to be saved, you can be, but you're going to have to trust me. This morning, don't miss heaven for the world. It's not worth it. Young people, quit chasing the world. Start trusting Jesus. Mom and Daddy, this morning, you here lost, never met God. He wants to save you. I wonder as my brother starts on this song and gives a number in this church stand, I wonder would you take a step out in that aisle, come down an old-fashioned altar and trust Christ.